Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, November 8th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Tom Gamble is one of six candidates for Sitka Tribe of Alaska Tribal Council. He has already served on the council once in 2004 and then again in 2008. If elected, Gamble wants to focus his term on preserving cultural identity. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
Tom Gamble says he's a big advocate for the subsistence lifestyle in Sitka, so much so that it was a little tricky setting up this interview.
I said, you know how to schedule an interview with me, really? And check the weather. And if it says that it's calm, I'm probably out doing something, hunting or fishing.
A good way to understand Gamble's commitment to Tlingit cultural preservation is to take a walk through Totem Park.
I'm intertwined all on through it. Whether it was the centennial robe that was beautifully woven by Terry Rothkar, I had the honor to bring it out in ceremony. I really did feel like I transformed into a raven for a little bit.
Gamble worked for 2 years as a ranger at Sitka Historical National Park. Whether it was organizing the raising of Tommy Joseph's totem pole or placing a plaque commemorating the Kiksati's walk across Baranoff Island, Gamble says these efforts required a lot of sensitivity and time management.
That was taking the knowledge of the federal policies and procedures and the knowledge of the traditional protocols of the Tlingit and trying to keep them on time, which is near impossible.
Now Gamble's main focus is his business, Tlingit Rain.
I sew seal and sea otter products primarily, but I also frame my business as an artist. I could do performing arts. I could lead tours regarding Sitka's cultural history.
It's an endeavor that allows him to stay close to the Tlingit way of life.
In Tlingit, they would say, Hakusti Yi. That's the way we lived. It's just whether it was gathering in the spring or dancing at potlatches in the fall, that's how we lived. Hakusti Yi. It's a description.
Gamble sees his decision to run for tribal council as a natural extension of his lifestyle.
I think that running for the tribal council is just right in line with what my family's always done. We've managed the land and its resources for millennia.
He feels that it's the duty of tribal council members to be role models when it comes to upholding a strong cultural identity.
I think that demonstrating it and walking the walk, you know, you put on your robe and you put on your raven hat or your eagle hat or whatever you call regalia.
Gamble believes marketing and outreach to non-tribal citizens also strengthens natives' identity in the community. He says tourism is one way to do this.
Maybe zoning Catlin Street as a historic district and trying to expand and including it in their tourism plan as opposed to excluding it and saying it's a rundown piece of town that only the native people live in.
If elected to council, Gamble wants the tribal citizens' vision to guide all planning, action, and conversations with city officials.
Incorporating the citizens' vision into where the tribe's going to be in 5 years as opposed to having a vision of 9 elected members that sit in a room, kind of exclusive.
In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Tom Gamble is on the ballot with Stephanie Edenshaw, Ben Mayasato, Louise Brady, and Lawrence Woody Widmark. Harvey Kitka is running as a write-in candidate. Visit the Chitkaquan Nakahiti between now and Election Day on November 12th to cast your vote. To see profiles of all the candidates for Sitka Tribal Council, visit our website, kcaw.org. The U.S. Coast Guard awarded one of its highest civilian honors to a Sitka fisherman whose quick thinking likely saved the life of a fellow mariner last summer. John Hagen was presented with the Public Service Commendation in a ceremony at Air Station Sitka Thursday morning as the station's pilots and officers stood by in full dress uniform. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
John Hagen's name did not make the news last June when he intentionally beached his troller Astasia in Icy Strait to rescue Tim Lane, who was drifting by in a waterlogged survival suit. The major news, sadly, was the loss of Lane's crewman, 25-year-old Alan Young, whose body was never found despite an intensive land and sea search covering 450 square miles. Young had gone overboard from Lane's boat, the Swift, sometime in the night. But Lane survived, thanks largely to the efforts of Hagen, according to the Coast Guard. The commendation describes the victim's condition as being on the brink of death. This is Air Station Sitka Executive Officer Chip Lewin reading from Hagen's citation.
Your courageousness and selfless actions undoubtedly saved the life of an Alaskan fisherman. Your valuable contributions to the Coast Guard search and rescue mission and dedication to public service are most heartily commended and are in keeping with the highest traditions of public service.
Hagen and some family members were then led on a tour of the air station's hangar, including the Jayhawk helicopter Hagen had last seen as it hoisted Lane off the remote beach in Icy Strait. Hagen told local media and a camera crew from the Weather Channel's Coast Guard Alaska program that he did not consider his actions on June 18th to be extraordinary. In telling the story, he says that it could have been anyone in his shoes.
Okay, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear somebody yelling out the name, you know, and you wake up, it feels surreal, like it's a dream almost, and heard it again, went out on deck, and a guy is floating by in his dinghy, a swamp dinghy, sitting in it. I could tell immediately that he was in trouble and very hypothermic. Tried to get a life ring to him, but the current's very swift there, and he was gone before I could even get it unhooked. We pulled anchor, got my granddaughter up immediately, pulled anchor and caught up with him. Tried to get him on board. His survival suit was full of water. And so may have got him on board if we'd taken it off, but then, you know, judgment call. Decided to leave him in his survival suit. We got a rope around him and towed him to the beach. And from there we were able to pull him up to the bow, get a long pole, and push him up onto the beach where he could then get out on his own. It wasn't until then that I took the time to call the Coast Guard and try to get help. It just, every second seemed to be important to get this guy on the beach.
Hagen says in retrospect he realizes that it was unusual to deliberately beach his boat, but there really was no other option. After the Coast Guard hoisted Lane, Hagen was able to power the steel-hulled Astasia back into deeper water. He also towed the dinghy back to the Swift and began to search for Lane's missing crewman. Hagen is also somewhat reluctant to take full credit for the rescue. He says he plans to give the commendation, which is bound in a white leather portfolio, to his granddaughter Sabina, who capably assisted the rescue as his deckhand. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
We recently told you the story of an ancient charcoal tree found beneath a pile of ash near Sitka. Scientists hoped tests would help them better understand the area's rich volcanic history. Well, the results are in. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld tells us what was found.
Young Blake LaPerriere found this tree during an August family outing near a beach on Kruzoff Island, west of Sitka. The trunk and branches were charred as they were buried in hot volcanic ash and debris thousands of years ago, but they remained upright and became visible this year as ocean waves washed away some of the surrounding material. Forest Service geologist Jim Bechtel took samples and sent them off to a lab. The results came up with the age.
About 13,180 years ago.
He says that generally corresponds to earlier tests on other ancient items found in the ash area. But those results were in question, and these aren't.
This has low probability of any kind of contamination, and it's definitely contained in the flow. And you can see that from the deposit, there was a couple different surges of that eruption. So you know that this tree was living on the landscape and got encased in this very, very hot pumice ash at the time of the eruption.
The tree age provides a firm date for the explosion at Crater Ridge, a cone near Mount Edgecombe, the region's most visible volcano.
There was a relatively large eruption that blanketed a good portion of southeast Alaska with volcanic ash.
Bechtel says about 2.5 inches covered much of Baranoff Island, parts of Glacier Bay, and as far east as Juneau. So any time it's found, it dates what's above or below. That same ash layer has also been found in Sitka Sound, a large ocean bay next to the volcanic area. That's no surprise, but it was in layers of freshwater sediments.
We know that Sitka Sound itself was elevated above its present location and a non-marine environment. It had a freshwater lake in it.
In fact, it was almost 200 feet higher than it is today. Bechtel says that's due to weight and pressure from advancing and retreating Ice Age glaciers. Tests also established the tree as a Sitka spruce, which of course grow in groups. So does that mean there are more charcoal trees under the ash?
Without a doubt. There was a forest growing there that just was rapidly buried.
Bechtel says tests on the tree revealed nothing earth-shattering. But, like so much in science, it added information that will help the experts shape a better picture of volcanic Alaska. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
Hear our first report about this tree and learn more about Southeast's volcanic history through links posted on our website, kcaw.org. And Alaska's U.S. senators voted with the majority Thursday in approving legislation that would bar workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Democratic Senator Mark Begich called it a matter of fairness. He said it's not right that in some states, people can still be fired for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski said discrimination should never be tolerated. She said individuals should be judged on their merits and not how they look or how they are perceived to be. The bill would bar employers with at least 15 workers from using someone's sexual orientation or gender identity as the basis for employment decisions, including hiring or firing. Religious institutions and the military would be exempt. The bill's chances in the House are considered iffy. And that's all for Raven News. At this hour, it's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 41 degrees in downtown Sitka. And overcast, it should be cloudy today with a chance of rain and temperatures holding steady around 42 degrees. East winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. We're going to rejoin National Public Radio, and I'll be back with you at 8:18 with a local interview.